BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello. Later, more on those Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses, which recently have become even smarter.
Hey Meta, look and see. What shop is to my left?
The shop to your left is Specsavers.
Didn't do that on purpose, I promise. How far away is the ATM?
The ATM is located on the wall of the building to your left, approximately 20 to 30 feet away.
Look and tell me what door number I'm stood in front of, please.
You are standing in front of door number 106.
Perfect.
So, what can they do, and why have some features taken so long to reach the UK? We'll be putting those questions and some more to Meta's Director of Public Policy. But first, the Association of Optometrists has produced a report saying that thousands of older visually impaired people are missing out on vital support because they're often not receiving the registration that gives access to it. They blame these delays on the shortage of ophthalmologists, eye doctors, to you and me, who are at the moment the only professionals with the authority to register people as being severely sight impaired or visually impaired. They're now lobbying MPs to extend that authority to optometrists, which is already possible if you live in Wales. Well, I'm joined by Adam Sampson, the association's chief executive. Adam, can you describe what services and care people are missing out on?
There's a variety of care that is offered to people once they have got a formal diagnosis of visual impairment. Some of those services are obviously offered by charities, but many of them are funded by the NHS. And in order to be able to get access to the sort of services we're talking about, you would need something called a Certificate of Visual Impairment. And that's the document which formally has to be signed in order to entitle you to get emotional support, support with the emotional impact of your diagnosis, but also practical help in learning how to negotiate how you manage your life now you are officially visually impaired.
What's the extent of the problem? I mean, do we know how many people we're talking about?
We've surveyed our members, and over half of our members regularly see people who are visually impaired but don't have a certificate yet. And the reason for that is obvious, that we know that hospital eye care services are desperately overworked. We know that there is a massive shortage of ophthalmologists. And so you're asking everybody to pass through this very narrow, overcrowded corridor to get the certificate in order to get access to the services. Now, as you've suggested, in other parts of the UK, in Wales in particular, you don't need to see an ophthalmologist to get the certificate. You can get a certificate from your high street optometrist, who after all has trained for 4 years in eye care. It's a medical qualification. They're perfectly capable of certifying somebody as visually impaired.
It's still a bit hard to understand why there are these delays. It's only signing a piece of paper, isn't it, Adam?
Well, you know what it's like in all professions, and the medical profession is just like it. You have these historical hierarchies, and certain tasks are, for historical reasons, reserved for the most important people in the hierarchy. And that appears to be what's happening in this case. Ophthalmologists are the pinnacle of eye care specialists in this country, and historically they're the ones with the power to sign the certificate, but things have moved on. This is just one of those things that we also need to start delegating out to the 16,000 optometrists that are working in High Street, rather than the 2,000 ophthalmologists that you can only get to in a hospital setting.
What are the financial implications of this to patients? You know, if optometrists were given this authority, I mean, would there be a cost to the patient as there is now with eye tests, for example?
Well, with most of the patients that we're talking about, assuming that this came under what is called the GOS, the General Ophthalmic Services contract, that would be absolutely free to the patient. And for the vast majority of people who are visually impaired, that would certainly be true, particularly if they're elderly people and they get access to free sight tests anyway. There may be, and we'd have to work it out, there may be an additional cost to government to pay optometrists for their time in signing the certificate, but that's a different thing. It would certainly be free to patients, and it ultimately would save them money, because at the moment, in order to get the certificate, they've got to make their way to a hospital.
So what's next, Adam? We've mentioned that you're lobbying the government on this. What exactly did you want them to do?
We just want optometrists in England to be given exactly the same powers that their colleagues in Wales have to sign these certificates. It's not a difficult ask. There aren't very many profound financial implications. This is just tidying up a piece of administrative nonsense for the benefit of patients. And we are hopeful that any minister worth their salt will see this and go, yes, this is an obvious quick win.
But it sounds as if you don't think it actually needs legislation, that it's administrative.
Oh, it's administrative only. It doesn't require legislation. It's just a change to the current arrangements. It's administration. This is not one of the most profound asks that I've ever had to campaign for, but its implications for the hundreds of thousands of people are actually very profound.
Adam Sampson, thank you very much indeed. Now, this next item highlights the striking contrast which exists between the struggles you can experience in those early days of diagnosis and what technology, increasingly driven by developments in AI, can provide for blind people with the technical know-how and the financial resources to take advantage of it. For instance, there's been growing excitement about the potential of the Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses, equipped with a camera and connected to a smartphone to give you all kinds of information about the world around you, both inside and outside of your home. Some of the AI features have been a little slow in making their way over here from the States and other countries, but the long anticipated process of rollout has been happening over the last few weeks. And in a moment, we're going to be talking to the Director of Public Policy at one of the companies who produced them. But first, I'm joined by Martin Ralph, who's been posting his experiences of using this on Instagram and TikTok. Martin, first of all, just explain the impact of these glasses on you, because you've only had them pretty recently, and tell us what they can do.
So the impact genuinely has been pretty immense. I did think, is this a gimmick? Is this something that won't work for me? So when I got my set and set them up, some of the differences that came through were, for example, going to Aldi. We all know, going the shopping, it always seems to be the bane of my life anyway. Particularly my little Aldi, they've redesigned, they've rejigged everything. I used to know where everything was, I don't anymore. The glasses came in really handy, and this is not an AI perspective. This was purely through the camera and using the live feed. So I took the opportunity to try it with my wife. So using the glasses, you're able to have a video call with somebody else, be that through WhatsApp Messenger video or Facebook Messenger video. And on this occasion, she was able to guide me from the sugar to the bread and keeping me away from the middle aisle. So she was able to keep tabs on me in that sense. But yeah, there's no AI whatsoever, and just being able to get me navigated around the shop where the layout had completely changed. But the other actual AI elements that are really useful that I've used it for is reading letters, reading prescription labels. One area that's always been inaccessible to people with sight loss is advertisements. And I've been able to have a shufty at some advertisements and stuff as well. So it's really opening the world up. And that sounds so cliche.
And this is the look and tell function, isn't it, that we've been actually
Correct.
Waiting for. So how much has this enhanced what the basic offering was?
So the basic offering of the Meta AI was meant to be all about just ask questions like, hey, Meta, what's the tallest building in the world? Obviously, it would come out with the Burj Khalifa, and then you could ask follow-up questions. It was like just having that companion, but on your glasses, on your face, if you like. No real benefit to people with sight loss. So the look and see, or the look and tell, is it gets marketed in very different ways globally, but the look and see functionality is literally leaps and bounds ahead of what we had in the UK and what we've been waiting on for months.
Well, as promised, I've been talking to Chris Yu. He's Director of Public Policy at Meta, and putting both my and listeners' questions to him. I began by asking how a company making smart and elegant glasses like Ray-Ban got the idea of combining this with technology that can give blind people literally a window on the world.
Meta has been around for a long time. Our company exists to help people connect through technology. And as you say, with the Ray-Ban Meta glasses, we've packed a huge amount of technology into them in pursuit of our ambition to make this as accessible and widely available to people as possible.
Now, potentially one of the most helpful features for blind and partially sighted people is the look and tell function. Many people in the UK were really keen to start using this feature, but I have to tell you, people were a bit puzzled by the seemingly random way in which the rollout took place. And we even know of cases where people in the same household, some got access, some didn't. What happened there? Can you explain why the rollout took quite a long time and was a bit random?
Yeah, I can appreciate that it maybe feels that way to folks sometimes, but this is pretty standard practice in the technology industry. When we are doing something like this at very large scale, we always roll out gradually to make sure that that happens smoothly and people get a stable, positive experience.
No, but I'm just interested. I mean, how do you decide who gets it and who doesn't?
Well, it's not so much a case of deciding who does and who doesn't, but rather just pushing it out gradually across all the people who have the glasses and the other technologies. Sometimes a little bit of patience might be required, but it will get to everybody.
So it is just random then? It's like a raffle draw?
It just takes some time because there are so many people to reach. One thing I will say for your listeners, if they want to check for the updates on the glasses, they can do that check themselves in the Meta AI app. So if they go to settings, and I think you press glasses and privacy and then glasses update, that will try and fetch the update if it's available to them.
I suppose the thing that goes with this, Chris, is that, you know, people were saying to us that, you know, throughout this rollout, it was difficult to get answers from Meta. Why do you think that happened?
We tried to provide as much information to folk as possible. We did the publications around the launch on April 10th when we first put this out. As I say, it can take a little bit of time for these things to get out there. Everyone in the UK will either have access already or they will in the very near future.
Right. Now, we've asked a few of our listeners, or they've approached us with a couple of questions for you about this. Yusuf has been using the look and tell function, but he's experiencing some inconsistencies with the AI. This was his question.
I've held up a book and asked the Ray-Ban Meta glasses to read what's in front of them. And sometimes I will get a summary and sometimes I will get a verbatim reading of the text, but there seems to be no consistency in that. And I was wondering why that is.
So, Chris, what's the answer to that?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I can see how important that is. I think one of the things to remember with AI technology is that it's simultaneously incredibly advanced and very, very smart, and it's also continuously evolving. And so just in the same way that when you have the same conversation with somebody a couple of times, you might not go through exactly the same words and sentences, you will get sometimes slightly different responses from the AI. We are always working to improve this. I think one thing that's really important to us is hearing the feedback from users. So it's really great to get these insights from folk who are using the glasses. For us to hear that is really, really helpful. And I think the technology will continue improving.
What's the situation with the rollout of the live AI feature in the UK? Perhaps first you could explain exactly what it is.
Yeah, and I appreciate there's been a lot of interest in this. So the live AI feature, which we are just testing at the moment, lets you have a continuous conversation with AI. The glasses have a continuous feed of what you're looking at, and you can continue talking back and forth with them in a very natural way. We are starting to test this for some users in the US. Right now, I haven't got any more updates for you about the UK.
Right. Connor, raise this.
Blind people are using the Meta glasses for perhaps more private things than sighted people are, to identify items in our homes, to read paperwork. How can we ensure that any images that are taken on the glasses are treated with the level of privacy that is required for sensitive data? And will there be more robust controls implemented in the app so that users of the glasses have increased control over their data?
So, Chris, what's the answer to that?
Yeah, really important. And privacy is always top of mind for us. There are controls within the app around how data is shared. I think, like, at a very simple level for your listeners, the interactions that you have there, the pictures that you take with the glasses, they are private to you. As a user, you've got all the controls around that that you should need. And, you know, we keep debating it and paying attention to it as the technology evolves.
Right. This next question came from Ellen.
I was just wondering whether you would consider implementing with Aira, visual interpreting service. I know that you do have direct integration with Be My Eyes, but both offer very different things. Aira have trained interpreters that can work with navigation, dealing with sensitive issues, and I think it would just be really, really good to have a hands-free option.
So just for people who don't know, Aira is a kind of professional version of Be My Eyes. Chris, can you tell us what the thinking is about how that might work and what the answer to Ellen's question is about Aira?
Yeah, look, I don't have sort of specifics on Aira, but I would say more generally, like, we are always open-minded about the partnerships that we can put in place. There are all sorts of things that, you know, ideas that we and others have about how the glasses and AI might evolve in future. So I hope we can look at that suggestion and many others as we continue to build future iterations.
Chris, you there. Martin Ralph is still with me listening to that. Some slightly careful responses there. What was your reaction and what will you be looking out for as this technology develops?
So to really reiterate the point, very, very careful responses. That was exactly what I picked up on. The live AI is massive. That's the limitation I found, is I want to keep surveying a scene and I've got to keep taking snaps and say, you know, hey, Meta, do this, do that. So really looking forward to that. But overall, I suppose it's early days and the technology is looking promising. It's just interesting to see commitment to people with disabilities and visual impairments going forward.
Ray-Ban Meta, they're not the only people in this market. What else is available and how do they compare?
The other types of technology that exist similar to this, myself and yourself, Pete, will be aware, and a lot of your listeners will obviously be the Orcam, but obviously that's been discontinued. But that was quite an expensive bit of kit, to be frank. Then you've got Envision AI glasses. Again, they are somewhat expensive, but there are other ones that are coming as well that are looking to be direct competition, dare I say, to Meta Ray-Bans, which are called Favionics. So the market in itself, there isn't really one right now. Right now, if you sit on the fence with it, you've got your expensive assistive technology labelled ones, such as Envision AI, marked up to £2,500, and then you look at Meta Ray-Ban and go £300 and go, well, I'll go with the mainstream. But my only concern is with the mainstream, although it is of course cheaper, is that we're beholden to them. They're not telling us what will come and what will go, whereas assistive technology manufacturers are doing it for one reason, and that's to support people that have low vision and sight loss. So that's my only area of concern with Meta generally, is will they keep pace with the disability community?
Martin Ralph, thanks very much for coming on. That's it for today, but do keep letting us have your views and your questions. You can email in touch at bbc.co.uk. You can leave your comments and questions on 01. 01-